when Jeremy was at the house. Well, one thing he didn't tell you is that, of course, we had an outhouse. So not only are we locked in that house for hours and hours, beating on the door.
Oh, my.
And we couldn't, you know, we couldn't get out. There were no houses around us because the land they gave us was worn-out garden land. And so all the villagers lived up on the ridge, and we're just down here. And so we're just prisoners in our house, and finally Jacob did come and got us out of there. He didn't tell you all of the problems that happened.
I would really like to hear.
I was just preaching. I wasn't telling the truth.
Well, first, the kerosene refrigerator started smoking. Just puffed the soot, we call it in Tennessee, soot. So we got all of this black smoke inside the house. We can't get out. We have a month's worth of groceries inside this kerosene refrigerator with a little tiny freezer box. And so I'm thinking, you know, all of our food's going to spoil, and plus we're trying to breathe this stuff. So in desperation, we just had to blow out the flame. And so at that point, I'm still expecting him home that night. But then he didn't get home for about 3 nights. So we lost all that meat. Then on the kerosene stove, when we did finally get out of the house, the kerosene stove runs out of fuel, and so we can't cook until we fill up the bottle on the stove, and we went out, and it turned out it wasn't kerosene in the kerosene container. And they have colors to the fuel in the beginning to where you're supposed to know if it's blue, it's kerosene. Well, this wasn't blue, and so we did question, is this safe to go in the kerosene bottle? And so we went over and got some guy walking down the road, and he said, is this kerosene? And he said it was gasoline. So we nearly poured gasoline in the kerosene stove. Had I did it, when I went to cook, we would have blown ourselves to kingdom come.
Yeah.
And so that kind of had me shaking in my knees a little bit. And at that time, we're doing all of our dishes in a bucket. And all of our water is rainwater. So we had like 3 sheets of roofing iron, corrugated. You know, you have a lot in Texas. We had 3 sheets of roofing iron out there. We caught all of our water off of that and drinking, cooking, washing dishes. We did get for washing clothes out of the creek. And so I'm washing dishes in the bucket. And, you know, I'm just pretty well aggravated. I'm just lambanging those dishes around. I broke his glass coffee pot, and I said right out loud, and you know, our 10-year-old son, as soon as his dad got home, he told his dad that I broke his coffee pot and said that would fix him. So it was a long 3 days, and if you never lived in a bush house, you don't know how dark they are. With a grass roof and no windows and a dirt floor and just that front door. And every day Jeremy would do his schoolwork sitting on a 5-gallon drum and have his school paces on his lap just to get daylight to do his schoolwork. And so we were homeschooling, and but at night, and he's gone, and I said to Jeremy, well, we need to try to get this generator going to have the light. We had one fluorescent tube light in there. And so we thought we'd get that generator going and have some light at night. And we went out there, and the generator You know, everything is his fault. Why didn't he, you know, fill the kerosene stove? Why didn't he build a generator? Why didn't he, you know, get this kerosene stove trimmed up before we got gone and the refrigerator and everything happened, you know? And so I'm pretty well aggravated at him. But what that taught me through all of that is that I needed to learn how to do all that stuff. I needed to know how to fix this and how to fix that and how to fix that. And be able to live in those circumstances without him having to fix everything. But that's what I learned out of all of it. So it wasn't totally futile. But I went out and we started the generator, and when it was to start it, and we realized it was out of fuel, and we got the manual out. And because it's diesel, we had to bleed the line. And so we started trying to go through the steps of doing that. And the little screw was actually an aluminum wing nut. And when I turned that, it broke off right in my hand. And I said, why would they put an aluminum wing nut on a $6,000 generator? And so then we had no lights, and boy, this started hitting me. My husband's going to come home after his hard trip to town, and he's going to have to turn right back around and go to town again because I broke the generator. And so then I'm starting to get repentant and maybe I'm look what I've done, and broke the coffee pot and all this, and nothing's working. And so he came home with all this mail and the one box he gave me from my mom, and it was postmarked 6 months before, and it had that little bag of just nuts and bolts and, you know, just nails and tacks and just stuff in it. And I looked at it, and I thought, do you suppose? And I picked out that one little screw and took it out and showed it to Ted on my hand just like it was a nugget of gold.
Yeah.
And I said, looky here. And he took that little nugget, so the thread was just right, the size was just right, everything just made for that Lister generator, and put that on. And
glory.
And then my mom, she sends circuit peanuts for Ted. And the sugar stuff, you know, for Jeremy in this box. And unbeknownst to my mom, I had been trying to get a copy of the book by Darlene Dyer Rose, Evidence Not Seen. And I'd even gone to the Christian bookstore in Mount Holland. They didn't have it. They didn't think they could get it. And in that box was that book that I've been trying to get ever since.
Boy.
I read that book, how she, everything she had gone through in a Japanese prison camp and suffered and learned about the God of 91 bananas. If you ever read that book, it'll change your life. I read that book, it changed my life from the beginning. Because it put everything in perspective. I mean, I'm complaining about this, this, and this, and what she had to go through in prison camp during the war, and how God helped her, and how she was a witness. And her whole life was such a testimony to me. And so that whole 3 days that happened, God sent me that book and taught me a lot of things. And we laugh about it. We joke about it now. It's one of the funniest stories we ever talked about, you know, from the beginning. But at the time, well, I was just devastated. And, but it was a wonderful time, and it's a good testimony, it's a good story for now. But the things that we went through in New Guinea are just priceless. Mm-hmm. Nothing to compare to but to compare, in America, I don't need God in America. And over there, if you just have these essentials, if you have clean water to drink and food to eat, and we slept on army cots the first day of the year, and we slept like this every night on army cots, and it did wonders for my bad back, put me back on my feet again. All the things we complained about, God was using them to help us.
Hallelujah.
Is there any other story that stands out in your mind that you would like to tell?
Well, we had some very frightening experiences, and we had some life and death, real life and death situations. Ted had two heart attacks in the beginning, and the one was down on the Kikori River. And no roads, and we flew in and out of there, and it happened on a Sunday, and the next flight out was going to be Monday. And we had a couple of nurses in training in our church, and the clinic was right next door. And so while he's having a heart attack, I went up to the clinic, and there's no doctor, but I got the two girls that came to our church, and they came down, and first thing they wanted to do was to take blood pressure. And they never used a digital blood pressure machine before. And so they broke our digital blood pressure machine. And the whole church just came to our house and started praying in our living room. The pastor, the word just got around. The whole church just came to the house and started praying for Ted. Somehow, I don't even know how, but at that clinic, they had a mission radio. And the word went out. But there was an American Baptist missionary having a heart attack in his home. And could anybody give any advice on what to do for him? Well, that went out over, and the Chevron Oil Company heard that over their mission radio. And they sent a truckload of fellows down, and one was an EMT who took care of the Chevron Oil employee workers there. And they came down with backpacks and all of this equipment and walked up the steps to our house and said, "We've come to evacuate you." And the doctor said to me, "You've got 10 minutes. You get your checkbook, you get any cash, you get anything that you would need if you have to go, we have to take you to Australia. And you've got 10 minutes." So I'm throwing stuff in a bag, and they're in there working on Brother Ted, kind of stabilizing. And all the church people are there, they got the teapot going on, and, you know, they're just praying, a little group here, a little group there, people just praying. And so they evacuated us up to the Chevron oil camp. And they had all the technology, the gadgets, to get in touch with his cardiologist in Cairns, Australia. They were able to contact that doctor and compare the current that day's EKG with the last one he had had at his checkup in Australia, and determined that there wasn't a whole lot of difference in them. And so they said, "We're going to keep you here for 3 days." And so that doctor there, that American doctor, you always think, what is, you know, he had already had one heart attack and open heart surgery in America. And in my mind, I think, what did this happen to Jim and the kid? Well, it did happen again in the beginning. The Lord sent an American doctor right to our house and evacuated us to Chevron Oil Camp and put us there. And we had three meals a day, like a Holiday Inn buffet, where they bring all this wonderful food that we haven't seen in 3 years. And I just go in, and Ted had a Bible study going up there, and he had 50-some men who come to the Lord in that Bible study. And they were bringing oranges by and apples by and packs of cookies by and candy bars. bars and all the stuff that our patients shouldn't be eating, but they were coming by, and his converts were praying with us.
And
our little, like a little shipping container room. And they were coming by and ministering to us, and do you need this, and do you need that? And the doctor said, you know, it's illegal in New Guinea to fly at night because hardly any of the airstrips have lighting except the international airport in the capital. And that he said, if your husband would have taken you to Morrissey that Sunday night, we had the helicopter fueled, and we would have taken you to Fort Morrissey and got you evacuated to Australia. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't happen in America. But God did that for us.
Glory.
And so, in life and death situations, we just had them. We had a situation on the road where they said that we ran into this little old lady, and actually he got the car stopped into the side of the road, and it was during like a hurricane, and she had her umbrella up and didn't even see us. And this little old lady actually ran across the road and ran into our stopped truck. And when she did that, she just fell over backwards, right there in the middle of the road. And all of these villagers just appeared out of nowhere. And before we even knew what was happening, they had my husband down on the ground and were beating him and kicking him. And I'm in the cab of the truck, and this little fella Isaac in the back of our truck that we had given a ride to town stood up and in that dialect said, "Don't kill him, he's my missionary." And when he said that, in his dialect, unbeknownst to us, Isaac was from that very village where the villagers were trying to kill him. And so he said in their language, "Don't kill him, that's my missionary," and so they stopped. And they picked up that little old lady, arms and legs, and just tossed her in the back of our truck like a sack of potatoes. And Ted said, "We'll take her to the hospital and Mindy. We will go in there to preach a meeting." And we had Digicel. This is fairly recent. We had a digital phone in our car. And I called the local pastor in Mindy. And he said, "Go straight to the hospital." And when we were out there, he had a whole church there. And all the men surrounded Ted and all the women surrounded me in the truck to protect us. Because right behind us was a whole van full of the villagers of this injured lady. And they went out for compensation. And so that church just took over and they negotiated everything. Our lawyer friend from Mount Hagen just happened to be in Bendy, a whole other province away. And he negotiated everything for the compensation. The church took up the money and paid, not compensation, but they said a lot of gift to take care of this little lady. Because if it would have been compensation, that would imply fault. And the attorney said, "We're not giving compensation. We're not going to say compensation. We're going to call it a love offering." So we were there for a meeting, and they put bodyguards around our whole house. Because up on the ridge, we could see all the warriors lined up there watching us. And we got to that church, and within 2 hours, he's in the pulpit preaching after this, what we'd just gone through. And people were getting saved that night. We had such a meeting. We had the most wonderful meeting, baptized 13 converts that had already been discipled by the national pastor. But they just wanted Ted to baptize them in the river. And the river was way up so strong they had to plant men in the river to hold on to Ted to keep him from being washed down the river while he's trying to baptize them. And the oldest lady in Mindy Town, the first woman who ever joined the Catholic Church, was saved at that meeting. Mm-hmm. And all that was going on, and the devil was just trying to keep us from it. So, anyway, we get the picture that we had a wonderful life in Egypt. Just couldn't believe it.
Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Woo!
You never hear anything like that in the car in the world. The hand of God works through it all. The missionaries, we can just get a hold of that. And God will work through it all. And when it's driving you crazy, don't forget the hand of God is working through it all. I need that to say.
Oh, yeah.
Going, being faithful, in the devil. We salute you today.
Yes.
The more I appreciate people who have just stayed out of stuff and been faithful through it all. Just going to look right there. You can do more, but who's following that? And we got people, okay?